This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Earlier this week, state officials released results from the first round of drug testing for welfare recipients. The findings show little evidence pointing to widespread drug use among beneficiaries of the state's Work First Public Assistance Program. Thousands of Work First recipients were screened for drug testing. Less than 1% of the people screened tested positive. Joining me now is Lynn Bonner. Lynn's a reporter for the News and Observer and covered the report. Hello, Lynn.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Let's talk a little bit about it. It was a few years ago that the legislature passed this legislation ordering the tests. So perhaps we should talk about who's affected by these tests, who's covered under these tests.
Well, all of the adults who apply for or reapply for Work First are subject to the screening. And it's interesting to note that about two-thirds of the Work First cases are children only, so that excludes thousands of cases off the top. But in the last 5 months of last year, it was about 7,600 cases that were subject to this screening and later testing law.
We should probably find out what Work First is. What does that mean?
First is the state's version of the federal welfare program. And what it means essentially is that adults have to show that they are working or in job training or volunteering or looking for work in order to qualify for the benefits.
Right, and this was part of what we called welfare reform back in the 90s. And so
that's
the program, and now we're talking about the people covered, one-third of whom are adults and then would be eligible for testing. So how did the testing work? Because not everybody's tested, right? There's a screening process.
Right, there is a screening. I mean, everyone who applies or is reapplying, they go through a screening that involves a 10-question questionnaire, and the social worker also looks for felony drug convictions over the past 3 years. So the results of that screening then send people to a referral for a drug test.
All right. So let's talk about the number of people who ended up getting tested and how many tested positive.
Okay, well, 159 people were referred. 70 didn't show up for a test. And out of those 89 that did, 21 tested positive.
So that's of the total number of recipients, then that's
0.3? 0.3% of those who were applying.
One-third of 1%. So
right.
What was the rationale behind this legislation when it was passed?
Well, it started in Florida, I believe in 2011, passed a law that wanted to have all applicants and recipients tested. A few other states, about 11 other states afterwards passed laws. And the rationale is legislators said they did not want drug abusers receiving welfare benefits.
All right. And so do we have any idea what the experience of those states who've had this longer than we have?
Well, the law was in Florida was ruled unconstitutional. They passed a law requiring everyone who applied to go through a drug test. And about 4,000 people were tested, and they found over 4 months, they found 108 positive, so it was 2.6%. Other states have laws similar to North Carolina's, where there is a reasonable suspicion standard, where people either have to essentially fail a quiz or answer a certain number of questions on a questionnaire or have some felony drug convictions in order to be referred for drug testing. And the states that do this have found some similar results, North Carolina's. There was a report from Tennessee back in 2014 that showed about 16,000 people screened, 279 tests given, and 37 positive results. Utah, over a year, found that 12 people in a year tested positive. So not very many people testing positive after they go through this pre-screening process.
Do we have any idea? I mean, I understand that the test itself costs $55, but the overall, the total cost of the state is greater than that because there's a screening process and there's a lot of time and effort that goes into administering the test, reading the test results, and et cetera. Do we know what this costs the state overall?
No, I don't know what the total cost is. And I believe the state, prior to this law, was using this questionnaire. Yeah, and yes, there is some time and money involved on the social worker end. I'm not sure what that cost is.
All right. And so what about you? You talked about 70 people who didn't show up and were tested at all. What happens to them? Do they continue receiving benefits, or is there a penalty for that?
Oh, no. If you don't show up for the test, you don't get the benefits. Mm. But there is... But it's possible that some of those people later showed up for a test. That number is unknown.
And then if you test positive, I understand that you can come back and take another test sometime later, right?
Right. If you test positive, you're referred for drug treatment. And after successfully completing a drug treatment program, you can come back after 30 days and retake the test. But in that case, the recipient has to pay for the test him or herself.
Now, while you're in drug treatment, have you lost your benefits?
Yes, there are no benefits while you're in drug treatment.
Mm. And of the 21 people who tested positive, I guess 12 of those cases were approved for reduced payment because there were children involved. Is that right?
Right. What happens is that the head of household or the person who tests positive loses benefits. But if there are children in the family, benefits continue for them and they're administered through a third party.
And they talked about, so this is the screening, this was the first round of screening for this program, is that right?
That's right. It covered the first last 5 months of last year. The law was passed in 2013 over Governor McCrory's veto. It was supposed to begin in 2014, but there was a year-long delay, and so it started up last year.
Is there any provision in the bill for sort of reviewing the success and kind of the cost benefit of the program, or does it just continue?
It just continues. There are periodic reports required, but there is no look at whether it's worth the money.
I'm talking to reporter Lynn Bonner today on the State of Things. He's a reporter for the News and Observer, and we're talking about the first round of testing in the state's Work It's Drug Testing, in the state's Work First Public Assistance Program. 0.3%, 0.3% tested positive in the first round of testing. As you said, Governor McCrory vetoed the bill, and then it was passed over his objection. It was controversial at the time. Does there remain any sort of public discussion about this legislation?
There is not a whole lot at this point. There are two sides who continue to say, well, look, we stopped people who are drug users from getting welfare benefits. But then on the other side, people say, well, look at the results. It's not catching a lot of people. Is this really worth the money? So the debate from 2013 really has carried on to the present day, even after the results have been revealed.
Okay, the other challenge that I've heard raised about this is that when you cut off benefits to somebody who you suspect is using drugs, this might mean they could end up in the criminal justice system and cost you $40,000 a year to be a guest of the state.
Yeah, I had not heard that argument.
Part of so the discussion now is muted. The legislation is passed and it continues. What about have there been reactions among lawmakers to the results?
Just as I said before, the discussion was, well, we're saving X amount of money if we prevent people who are using drugs from receiving welfare benefits. And the results and the few numbers that show up testing positive also bolster the argument that it's really not worth the money.
All right, Lynn, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks.
My guest today is Lynn Bonner. She's a reporter for the News and Observer. You can find out more about the report and her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. We'll also talk about Coming up on The State of Things, a look at magical realism in graphic art, a look at the art of Stephanie Jackson, whose work will be on display at UNC's Stone Center. We'll have that conversation on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.